This is Bondi Tunes International, broadcasting around the world, and we welcome our listeners to FM in Australia and New Zealand. I'm Henry in Sydney. I'm joined by our Australian political correspondent, Adam Devlin, in Brisbane. He did manage to get back there, and we'll talk about that later or sooner. And Melissa Green is our Australian correspondent, and she's joining us from Melbourne. Welcome to the show, guys.
Welcome, welcome.
Hi.
Interesting. You know, I always love it when our correspondents meet in person because it's such a rare thing. We've got correspondents in Moscow, in Tel Aviv, up in Canada, in North America, in Britain, in Ireland. So the chances of correspondents actually meeting each other in person is kind of rare. But you guys met because, Adam, you, of course, left Melbourne to live in Brisbane late last year, and you flew back to Melbourne last Sunday to meet up with friends. And you have been talking with Melissa Grima, who on air for, I've checked it out, Melissa, a year and a half now. And Melissa, you went and joined Adam for the first time you met in real person sort of thing.
Yes, and I was so hungover, I almost didn't make it. However, unbeknownst to Adam, he booked a restaurant literally one block from my house. So it would be pretty horrendous if I didn't dump a few, 170 metres down the road,
and that was
according to Google Maps.
And that was a coincidence, right?
Yeah, I don't think Adam knew that I lived so close to the place, so I was really happy.
Did you guys, like...
Last I heard, I thought you were living in, like, St Kilda area.
No, I've been in Carlton for years.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought that, but in my head, you were living in St Kilda.
Well, there you go.
I must ask you both, because you've been talking on air for a year and a half, Melissa, did you sit down at the table and say, "Hello, Adam, my name is Melissa Grima. I am the Melbourne correspondent for Bondi Tunes International. How are you?" Did it go like that?
Of course it did, Henry. Of course it did.
Of course it did.
Well rehearsed. Yes. And he introduced himself as the political correspondent.
Oh, yeah, so that's how it went. I'm glad.
And then I introduced everyone else at the table as special guests.
Brilliant.
And long-suffering boyfriend.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, you've met Ian, of course, yes. And did you say any bad things about me? Because you know what? I was seriously thinking of flying down to Melbourne and joining you guys. But given what's happened with Adam trying to get back to Brisbane, I'm sort of glad I didn't. But you didn't say anything bad about me, did you?
Wonderful things, Henry, wonderful. We even toasted in your honour.
I don't believe you. Oh, did you? That's very nice. We're going to talk about the airline industry post-COVID, even though COVID has not left us, but that's what they're calling it, post-COVID, and particularly the Australian airline industry. Adam?
We should refer to it as post-lockdowns and shutdowns.
Well, yes, that's probably more accurate. It's definitely more accurate. Adam, you, as we were saying, you were in Melbourne on Sunday, and you tried to get home. Tell us the torrid story of trying to get back to Brisbane.
Well, we booked to fly down and back with Jetstar. I've flown with Jetstar a lot, and I've never really had any issues with them until this trip. Now, we got down to Melbourne perfectly fine, not an issue. The flights were on time, and they were comfortable. It was all good. We woke up on Monday morning at 9 o'clock. We had to be out of our apartment by 10. As I woke up at like 8:55, my phone beeped. That sort of woke me up, and I grabbed my phone and had a look at it, and it was a text message from Jetstar, and I'll just read you the entire text message I got from them. Mm-hmm. Because it's just so helpful. Flight JQ is 574 257 2022 from Melbourne has been cancelled. We're sorry, your flight has been cancelled.
End of story.
That's it.
End of message.
And yeah, nothing about, click on this link to go to our site to rebook another flight or, nothing. Just, we're sorry, we cancelled your flight.
So what happened then?
I thought I'd best ring them. We jumped online to see if there were any other flights from Jetstar out of Melbourne to Brisbane on the Monday. And there weren't. They were all the ones that were listed there had cancelled next to them. So I thought, oh, best I ring them. So I jumped on the phone and I was on hold without anyone answering my call for an hour. Literally, it was like 58 minutes I was on hold for.
How did you even find a phone number? Because I thought you had to use their chat box.
I did find a phone number on their website.
I bet you had to dig deep.
Oh, yeah. But I found a phone number and 58 minutes I was on hold just getting their message saying, if this is about a cancellation, refer to... If you've had to cancel your flight, refer to our website. Just a whole series of messages, and every one of them referred me back to their website. So I was on the website while I was on hold, and completely useless, just absolutely nothing on there that could help me. So then I had to... we made the decision that we needed to get home on Monday because we both had to work today, being Tuesday. And so we jumped onto a couple of other airlines to find the cheapest flight that we could to Brisbane. And the best we could do was a Virgin Australia flight, but it was two flights. It was Brisbane, Melbourne-Sydney, and then Sydney-Brisbane. There were no direct flights out of Melbourne on Monday to Brisbane that were under $1,000.
Oh, dear.
And so because I'd already paid for the tickets on Jetstar, which I've now got to try and get back as a refund.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Oh, I'll get it.
I know you will. You're a determined man.
A dog with a bone.
That's the one.
And so we're like, fine. So we booked that. It was, we had to leave Melbourne at 5:30 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So we jumped on the bus, went out to, we had the whole day in Melbourne. So we went and saw a lovely film, a little French film called Haute Couture. Highly recommended if you get to see it.
Who was the carrier that you chose to fly with after that?
Virgin.
Right. Yes.
And so we got to the airport and the flight had been delayed an hour. And we thought, no, that's okay. You know, an hour's neither here nor there, really, in the bigger scheme of things. Mm-hmm. Then it was delayed again. And then we eventually got to Sydney. And there was in all, it ended up being a 5-hour delay to our flight coming to Brisbane. They just kept getting delayed. It would get close to the time that it was meant to be taking off, and then it would be delayed another hour.
and so did you get home before midnight?
We got home at midnight.
Okay.
So we left Melbourne at 5:30 in the afternoon, and we got walked in our front door at midnight.
You mentioned to us in private messaging that it would be better, easier, and maybe even cheaper, maybe not cheaper, to actually drive from...
It would have been easier, it would have been less stress, and it would have been about the same amount of time to hire a car and drive to Brisbane.
I just want to mention that Jetstar is owned by Qantas, which is obviously our national airline. Sort of, and
it's a no frills service. You don't get anything on it. You just, you know, you get a seat in the plane and that's it.
Yeah.
But when you pay for that seat, the seat should be there.
Or they should replace it, you know, with a later flight, which is what you mentioned, Melissa Grima, that why they couldn't even give you another flight on the same airline, which seems bizarre to me.
Yeah, well, something went on in Melbourne on that day. I have no idea what, because they wouldn't tell me anything. I couldn't get to speak to anyone. And they didn't send me anything other than that text message I just read out. But something went on because all of their flights out of Melbourne to Brisbane that day were cancelled.
Told him what I thought. can I?
Nah, mate. Look at Apple.
If you've just joined us, I've got Adam Devlin in Brisbane and Melissa Grima in Melbourne, and we're talking about the airline industry and the problems that we're having with airlines all over the world. But, you know, there's an awful...
I don't know if airlines around the world are having similar problems to what we are they? Because I'm not hearing this stuff.
That's a good comment, because I was about to just say we're at the bottom of the barrel with problems here in Australia. And I just want to explain to our listeners that, you know, Melissa, you have travelled all over the world as a tour guide. You're very familiar with airlines. It's something that was an integral part of your job, travelling around the world. And it is true to say, both of you, it is true to say that we're not, in Australia, we're not really handling this very well.
No, we're not. It's appalling. For flight cancellations, we're number six in the world. Sydney Kingsford Smith Airport is the sixth most cancelled flights of any airport in the world.
Do you know the fourth most busiest popular flight route in the world is Adam and Henry?
Yes, I do. Sydney to Melbourne and Melbourne to Sydney.
Yes.
It is. Isn't that bizarre? It's not even JFK to, you know. It's really bizarre, but it's true. You
know, but I just wanted to add something. My brother's got a Qantas credit card,
yes.
And you pay a yearly fee and you accumulate Qantas points. And he has this intentionally because he takes his family to Thailand every year. So he's been accumulating these points. He's got a wife and two children, age 13 and 9. And he has flown numerous times between Sydney and Thailand direct with Qantas. He went to book the flight this time, and Qantas would not allow him to book on Qantas. They made him book on Jetstar. Mm. Now, it got even worse because they made him fly from Sydney to Melbourne. No one at Jetstar could actually tell him whether he could check in all the way to Bangkok, because that was his end destination, in Sydney, or if he had to first line up in Sydney and then go to Melbourne, right?
Mm.
So he lined up in Sydney, spent an hour checking in because he had baggage, right? Yep. It wasn't even clear if they would get the international allowance domestically, but he got it. But this wasn't – and he had called Jetstar several times, and no one that he spoke to could answer a damn question that he had, because all their staff for Jetstar work overseas, right?
Mm-hmm.
So – first flight of the day was Sydney to Melbourne. And I said, there's no way it's going to be late because it's the first flight of the day. Well, that flight was delayed. It was delayed over an hour. Finally gets to Melbourne. But he's got to line up and check in again for the flight. Now, the flight to Bangkok was via Singapore. So he spent over 3 hours lining up at Melbourne Airport to check in for the flight to Bangkok via Singapore. And because there was another Jetstar flight leaving, and that one was delayed, even though my brother was there 3 hours before check-in, he still had to line up for a ridiculously long time. Then when he got to the gate in Melbourne, the flight was delayed from Melbourne to Singapore for over 2.5 hours. And like you said, Adam, no explanation, no updates. They were just left in the terminal, not even knowing when the flight was going to board. By the time he got to Singapore, he just missed his connecting flight. Now, there were several people doing that connecting flight to Bangkok, but because the flights in Asia are run by Jetstar Asia, not Jetstar Australia, they wouldn't hold the plane. And then they said to my brother and his family, plus all these other passengers, oh, we can't get you out of here for another 2 days. You're going to have to stay in Singapore for 2 days. So a woman was on the way to her father's funeral. She broke down. Oh. Another woman had a connecting flight from Bangkok to Europe for a wedding where she was bridesmaid. She broke down. My brother spent 4 hours at the airport trying to retrieve his luggage because the luggage had a baggage tag that said Bangkok, and it took the airline staff 4 hours to find it. So this is after he's left Sydney at 4 a.m. from his house and had all these multiple delays. And then he said, I can't wait 2 days. He ended up spending $2,000, right, to buy his own tickets on AirAsia to fly between Singapore and Bangkok because he had appointments in Bangkok he wanted to keep with the dentist and things like that and couldn't afford the delay. And, like, you know, he's got to try and chase up this refund now between Singapore and Bangkok.
Did he have children with him, did you say?
Yeah, they're a family of four. And so you've
got where sorry to interrupt you. Where is he at now? Have they made it to Bangkok?
Oh, yeah, they made it to Bangkok and they've since come back. But, you know, I wrote this massive letter of complaint for them because, you know, they were 4 hours at the airport. But the whole point of having, like, firstly, a Qantas card to get Qantas points is to redeem them on Qantas flights. When you give me Jetstar, which is an inferior service, that's not what I paid for. My brother didn't get food on the flight. He didn't get anything. That's not what you pay your annual fee for. And
you would have thought... I would have thought that if you had actually, you were a paid up member of their loyalty program, that you would be given preference.
No, and you can't even use the Qantas lounge.
Yeah.
You can't use the Qantas lounge internationally if you fly with Jetstar, only in Australia. Again, that's not what his points and the card benefits are. So he's going to cancel the card and go with another airline now. And, you know, your Irish mate, Henry, Alan Joyce, is just running Qantas into the ground.
Yeah, that was our next subject, was Alan Joyce is the CEO of Qantas. He is Irish, this is correct, but he's not necessarily my mate. he is facing some major pressure, and it's interesting that you mentioned to me off air that he's just bought a new house worth how much?
$20 million in Mosman.
In Mosman, which is a very wealthy, it's the wealthiest suburb in the country, and it's just north of North Sydney.
What's changed for him? Because he gets paid $20,000 a day for what? Stranding Australians?
Yes. well, the thing is, you know, sorry, Adam, do you want to comment on this?
Yeah, I was just going to say, of course, I know the main issue here, I think. Well, there's two main issues, particularly with Qantas. One is all of their baggage handling and maintenance and everything has all been outsourced.
Mm.
So they have no control over that anymore. And of course, we've got massive shortages of staff at the moment because of COVID, because people are off sick with COVID.
Mm. But it's not just that.
No, that's a convenient excuse.
No, because what happens is...
It's part of the problem.
But all the pilots were grounded, right? And we saw news stories in Australia where these pilots who were earning hundreds of thousands of dollars, right, had been redeployed as bus drivers and earning $80,000 a year, right?
Yeah.
So when you don't do enough, a certain amount of flying hours in a year... And none of these pilots were, you have to retrain. So the pilots have had to retrain. And then because the aircrafts were grounded for so long, they've had to go and get maintenance done again. So they don't have enough,
They don't have enough stock.
Right. So they don't have enough pilots trained up. They don't have enough aircrafts that are able to fly, right? They've got staff with COVID, which is leading to staff shortages. But then instead of reemploying all the ground staff that you had, you've looked at this as, hey, let's save some money and we'll outsource it to this company run by Emirates out of Dubai who aren't paying their staff enough. And then we're hearing about all these near misses because maintenance isn't being
maintained.
Yeah, and it's just chaos everywhere. There's talk of a strike, as if things weren't bad enough.
Well, that's sorry.
Go on, Henry.
That company in Dubai sacked 1,700 of its own staff, and that's a lot of people. You know, I don't care how big the company is, that's dangerous. And that, as you mentioned, Melissa, it's actually very dangerous because you don't get the security checks. And I just want to mention a friend of mine who, he's a colleague, and he does airplane maintenance, right? It's what he did for a living before COVID struck and he got sort of told to leave, made redundant. But interestingly, just on a side note, with the COVID thing, airplanes in this country of Australia had to be sent into the desert, you know, like near Alice Springs, because they were going to suffer from salt damage and rain damage and get rusty. So they were all sent into the centre of Australia. I don't know what they do in Europe, because if you look at Mascot Airport in Sydney, it's right on the water. You can't store planes there. And now they've got to move all the planes back.
And you know, they've also had big Boeing 747s in the desert in Nevada or something.
Done the same in America,
But with Qantas planes also, not just like American planes, they did this, But here's the thing for me, right? Our government put us into lockdown, okay? Whether you agree with it or not agree with it, right? I feel they're somewhat partly to blame because there was no pathway out of lockdown, right? There was no, we're going in and this is what it's going to look like. So there wasn't this build-up for the airlines to go out there and have, you know, a soft launch like you would a new business. It was all of a sudden, hey, one day we're open up, okay? Yeah. So that's partly to blame. But why doesn't the federal government stand in and go, right, we owe it to every tourism operator and hotel and small business in this whole country that's done it tough for 2 years without tourism, that's struggling to get our airline industry up off the ground and functioning again so Australians can return and put some money in. Like, everyone in my newsfeed's gone to Darwin. I went to Darwin last year, as you know, right? Mm-hmm. People are travelling domestically because they don't trust travelling internationally, but they'd be better off traveling internationally because our domestic airlines are a mess. And why doesn't the federal government step in and go, right, enough with this outsourcing BS? We need to bring the jobs back to Australia.
Yeah, we also need to understand that there's just been a change in the federal government in this country of Australia. So this is kind of making things complex because Anthony Albanese, the new Prime Minister, is trying to grapple with a lot of things, in all fairness to him. And you're right, it should be a federal decision. Adam, I just want to, and by the way, if you just joined us, I'm Henry for Bondi Tunes International in Sydney. I've got Adam Devlin in Brisbane and Melissa Greimer in Melbourne. I want to just get back to the stats, Adam. Now, you sent me a Guardian Australia report. Sydney Airport has been among the world's worst airports for flight cancellations and delays in the last 2 months. And very interesting rankings. Tell us about these rankings as against the other countries.
Yeah, well, for flight cancellations, Sydney Airport is sixth in the world. The only ones ahead of it are Shenzhen Bao in China, the Newark Liberty in the USA, LaGuardia in the USA also, Toronto in Canada, and one of the Indonesian ones are the only ones with more flight cancellations than Sydney. And if you're looking at flights delayed, currently it's running at about just under 6% of the flights out of Sydney are being cancelled. If you look at flights being delayed, we're ninth in the world behind Toronto, Frankfurt, Charles de Gaulle in Paris, Amsterdam, both Gatwick and Heathrow in London, Munich and Athens. And then there's Sydney. Nearly 35% of our flights out of Sydney are being delayed at the moment.
That's a huge figure. That's a huge figure.
It's outrageously figure. And, you know, just a small example. When we were flying up on Monday, when we finally got to Sydney and we finally got onto the airplane, so they loaded us all onto the plane. And then they made an announcement to us and said, oh, I'm sorry to do this to you, but we have to wait now for another plane to land because of staff shortages. We've got to wait for another plane to land, get the flight crew off that plane and put them on this plane.
It's laughable stuff.
Yeah.
It's Keystone Cops.
It really is. I just wonder, is there somebody that controls these airlines? Like, are they self-administered bodies of control, or how does this work?
There is a federal authority that oversees the
Well, they're not doing
industry.
A very good job, are they?
No, they're not. They're very hands-off at the moment. Mm-hmm. And you know, I just think that one of the issues here is the airlines have thought, let's just schedule everything as if everything's normal.
Mm.
When they know nothing is normal. they're not ready to be in the air at the moment.
Well, Melissa, you know, Adam has just tried to get home from Melbourne to Brisbane, and it took him, 12 hours or something?
Yeah, left at 5:30, got here at midnight.
Okay, so that's a long time. Melissa...
For a 2.5-hour flight.
It's just crazy. Melissa, ground crew, I'm reading the headline, baggage handlers threaten strike action prompting fears of further delays at major Australian airports. Given Adam's experience, don't you think this can get a whole lot worse?
That's what I'm saying. The government needs to step in and say, right, you know, I don't know why the trade unions are stepping back as well. Why isn't the trade union movement out there and going, get rid of this bloody outsourcing and get Australians back in?
Mm.
You know, and it's not that simple and it's not that black and white, but why are we letting these jobs be outsourced to a foreign company for less money for people who aren't doing their jobs correctly?
Mm. Adam?
I can only hope that this... I think there will be industrial action taken, particularly in Sydney, in the next sort of short period of time. And I think that's inevitable.
Yes.
And I hope and I pray that the outcome of that will be that something like that happens, that the airport, the government starts to regulate to say that this sort of, particularly the maintenance and the cabin crew sourcing and all of that needs to be taken back in store.
Mm. That company.
It's the only way that It's the only way that the airlines are really going to start to rebuild a bit of faith with the travelling public.
I just want to give a little more detail to this potential strike. The company from Dubai supplies aircraft ground handling for up to 20 airlines, including Qantas. This strike action would likely impact thousands of travellers at Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne. Now, of course, they're the biggest cities in the country, and the ground crew have warned of chronic understaffing, airport chaos and safety incidents. And as I said earlier on,
it's been handled by Qantas, all of it.
Say again?
This used to be all handled by Qantas, you know.
It's been outsourced, obviously, for financial reasons.
But usually it's the national ground carrier of the country that takes care of the ground staff. And I could be wrong with that, but that's usually the case.
And can I say that this would not have happened if Qantas had not been privatised?
Yes, you mentioned that off air. How are they fully privatised?
Yes, absolutely, 100% publicly owned. Privately owned, sorry. It's a publicly listed company, but owned by shareholders.
Well, of course, the shareholders are always put before everyone else, aren't they?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they outsourced all this stuff.
They're not put before the board, of course, but after that they're next.
Yes, of course, the board is the board, and you know, it's interesting to see where this goes. I would feel very lacking in confidence traveling anywhere. Melissa, I know you're always trying to fly somewhere. Have you got any plans?
Myself? I'm really turned off by traveling domestically. Like, I recently went to Noosa as part of a sales conference with work, and I was fine. Coincidentally, I flew there and back with Virgin, but the people who were on the Qantas flights, their flights were delayed by several hours. And I flew back from Sydney in June, and my flight was – I got to the airport ridiculously early for a domestic flight because I'd seen the long wait times for Sydney Airport. So I got there stupidly early, and then my flight was delayed by 3 hours, and I didn't get home until after midnight that night.
Good Lord.
Yeah. And, you know, I can understand and accept that things go wrong every now and then and that flights sometimes need to be cancelled and they sometimes are delayed. These things are inevitable. What's appalling, though, is the lack of communication around it when it happens.
Mm.
So, you know, I was talking to people in the airport last night in Sydney, not only on my flight but on other flights as well, because the airport was just milling with people standing around going, we have no idea what's going on. And, like, for our flight, it was delayed twice without them even announcing it. It just, the time changed on the board.
You just see it on the board, right?
Yeah, yeah. And all of a sudden I went, oh my God, that's changed. It's gone up an hour. I must have missed the announcement. And then all of a sudden it had gone up another hour without an announcement. Oh, it was just like, you know, if they can't even announce it in the airport, you know, what point, what's going on?
Well, the thing seems to be to me is that they don't know what's going on. So, and they get these messages from wherever they get these messages from saying, OK, we've got a delay for another hour. In your case, it was because you had to get a crew off another flight. It's just crazy. What about traveling internationally for both of you? Would you feel confident about travelling internationally at this point, given
I had less dramas. Well, I still flew with Jetstar. That was annoying too, actually.
Mm.
Yeah.
I have to fly. I've got to take another flight in the beginning of September to a regional, to Mildura, which is a regional centre here in Australia, in Victoria.
Yes, it's small.
It's a small country town, yep. Mm. The thought of that horrifies me. I'm going on a river cruise with my family.
Wow.
For a family celebration. One of my brother's 60th birthday, which actually happened 2 years ago, but it's been postponed 3 times because of COVID. So we're finally getting to do it this September. I now have to fly from Brisbane to Mildura, and I haven't even thought of looking at what sort of hassle that's going to be yet. But in regards to international flight, I'm still really hesitant about travelling internationally at the moment, and that's just my own preference or my own, fears. I don't know if I'd travel overseas at the moment.
I know I wouldn't. Melissa, did you say you would or you wouldn't?
Well, I travelled overseas in April, and coincidentally, I flew with Jetstar, and Jetstar was 2 hours late departing Melbourne. There was a massive lack of communication with Jetstar. And then coming back, we had to fill in this ridiculous customs form for the Australian government in order to get back in. And Jetstar on the ground in Denpasar wouldn't let you board the plane unless you completed this form, right? Mm. Now, I'd completed the form, but I couldn't bring it up on my phone because I didn't have internet access. And the internet access, the free Wi-Fi at the airport was atrocious. And I took, 15 minutes to try and get this completed form up. Imagine if I hadn't completed the form before I'd gotten there, so many people hadn't. And then, you know, everyone was starving and we all wanted to eat before we got on the plane. However, there were no restaurants open because they didn't deem it cost effective enough because there weren't enough travelers. So there are other bits and pieces that happen. We're all keen to get back to traveling and pour some money in, but it's just going to take a long time to get back to where it was. However, I think that things are pretty much business as usual in Europe.
And just want to mention that Denpasar is in Indonesia. Adam, you were going to say something?
I was to say, potentially we're looking at a trip into Asia next year, around the middle of next year, for my mother-in-law's birthday. Nice little family trip into Asia, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. And I wonder to our listeners listening in Europe and North America what they would think of our situation in Australia, do you think they'd have many of the same stories? I mean, we mentioned at the start of this broadcast that we're not doing as well as Europe, but you know, I've got two sisters living in the UK, and they seem to have no problems going anywhere. Like, one of them's just been to Italy. No problems.
In regards to as the stats I just gave you a moment ago, you know, the delayed flights, you know, it's the main ones are Canada, Germany, France, the Netherlands and the UK. So they're having delays. Mm. And for cancellations, it's mainly China, the US and Canada. So, you know, there's certainly cancellations happening in China and America, in North America. So, you know, it does look to me as if it's a bit of a global issue. And I don't know what, I don't think there's a short-term solution. That's the issue. I don't think that they just need to get more staff, and then they of course, getting staff is hard enough, but once you've got that staff, you've got to then take the time to train them because they need to know what they're doing. You know, you don't want somebody untrained doing your maintenance on your airlines.
You damn well don't.
So, you know, there's no, I don't think there's a short-term solution here.
All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. The taxi's waiting, he's blown his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could die. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. There's so many times I let you down. So many times I played around. I tell you now, they don't mean a thing. Every place I go, I'll think of you. Every song I sing, I'll sing for you. When I come back, I'll bring your wedding ring. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait. Hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. Now the time's come to leave you. One more time, let me kiss you. Close your eyes, I'll be on my way. Dream about the days to come when I won't have to leave alone. About the times I won't have to say. And smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. I hate. to go.
I just want to switch subjects before we go. The UK are going to host the 2023 Eurovision Song Contest because Ukraine obviously won last year, but they're not holding it in Ukraine. UK came second, which is amazing. And they're hosting the 2023 Eurovision Song Contest in the UK for the first time since 1998. That's how bad, because just to let our listeners know who may not know, the country who wins the Eurovision has to host it next year, but the Ukraine is not exactly in the right position to host it. So Britain's doing it. What do you, Adam? You're a fan of Eurovision, and I'm just wondering if Melissa is.
Love it.
Because you're European, you see. This is it.
Well, here's the thing: like Eurovision means so much to Malta, and every year they try so hard to win and no one ever votes for them because they're this small country with no interest. Like, you know, Greece is always going to give Cyprus 12. Cyprus is always going to give Greece 12, right? Italy, Montenegro. Yeah.
It's all political.
Right? Malta has a population of 500,000 people. No one's ever going to vote. But every year I tune in to watch Malta. And you know what really pisses me off?
What?
Right? Malta will never vote for Australia, even though every single person in Malta has a relative in Australia, because I don't believe Australia should be in Eurovision. I get it, but then why the bloody hell is Israel in Eurovision? Israel isn't in Europe. Neither is Azerbaijan, right?
Oh, that's interesting. Azerbaijan, right. I didn't know that.
Are they? Correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't know. I don't know.
Do you need to make a point for Europe? Azerbaijan's not in Europe. Why are they in Eurovision? Why is Israel?
Adam,
they're slightly more in Europe than Australia is.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't get further from Europe.
I'm just making a point.
Yeah. Adam, what do you think of Eurovision and what do you think of Britain hosting it? I mean, really, I guess you couldn't really host it in Ukraine, could you?
Well, look, it's highly unlikely by the next Eurovision that Ukraine will have the infrastructure in place. Even if the war is over by then, they won't have the infrastructure in place to be able to host such a thing. I mean, this thing is a huge festival.
It sure is.
So, you know, it just isn't going to happen in the Ukraine. So I understand going to the UK is probably the next best thing. As we said, Britain was the runner-up, so they get it in, since the Ukraine can't do it. Mm. Now, where are they going to have... Sorry, what was that, Melissa?
Is that how it works? I wasn't sure.
Yes. Yeah. So if the winner can't host it, it goes to the second place.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm. Now, the thing is, where in Britain are they going to have this? And it's interesting that one of the front runners is a little place called Swindon.
Oh, yes, Swindon.
Which is most famous for its magic roundabout, its multi-ringed magic roundabout.
I tell you what, here's a fun fact. ABBA won the Eurovision Song Contest in 1974. I'm sure you might know this, Adam.
In Brighton,
in Britain, yes.
And Olivia Newton-John came fourth as the British entrant.
And she's from, well, she was born in Britain.
She was born in the UK, yeah.
So that made it possible. Do you think it's unfair that Australia gets into this Eurovision Song Contest? They did it for an anniversary year, if I remember correctly. And we all knew that it wasn't a one-off thing. Adam, do you think it's fair that we're in there? We're not Eurovision
Look,
people?
I think if they're opening it up to countries other than what are in Europe, then maybe they just need to open it up to everyone.
Interesting, because that's kind of difficult. I mean, it used to be a one...
It wouldn't be called Eurovision.
Sorry?
Then it wouldn't be called Eurovision.
Well, they'd have to change the name, wouldn't they? And the other thing is, when Eurovision started, it was like one show. Now it's three shows. So if you opened up the whole world to it, it'd be like seven shows. You couldn't do it.
And look, it really before ABBA won in 74, it really wasn't a global thing.
It was a European.
It was a folk festival. It was a folk, like, European Schlager type music festival. And then, of course, ABBA blew that apart and took it and had a global hit from it.
Yes.
And then that's really how Australia got involved with Eurovision, because Australia became obsessed with ABBA.
Australia did become obsessed with ABBA. Melissa, you mentioned that a lot of Maltese, and now I just want to mention, in case anyone doesn't know, that you're from a Maltese family, or your mother's Maltese, your father's British, or is it the other way around? It's the other way around, isn't it? Do you think that it's appropriate for Australia to be in the Eurovision Song Contest? You mentioned that, you know, Maltese have so many people living in Australia.
Yeah, it's interesting because I know most of the people I know that watch Eurovision have European heritage. You know, like my friend who's originally from Portugal, and then I've got other friends with different backgrounds, and they all watch Eurovision because they all barrack for their home nation, right? Except if you're British. I'm just joking.
Oh, listen, I'm Irish, okay? And we won Eurovision more times than any other country in the 90s. We just kept winning. And you're right, you do tend to get nationalistic with Eurovision, and you want your country to win, you know?
I think this is another reason why Australia got into it. So there was the ABBA thing and then this. And I just think we love the tackiness of it. But when I watch it, right, it's very apparent to me. And don't get me wrong, I love that Australia's in it. But since we're having this conversation, when I watch it, we don't belong in it because the caliber of our performances, you can No. We're very influenced by America in terms of our music, right? And then, you know, you've got like Finland, who tends to have heavy metal entry.
Crazy stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Dark metal, right? And then you've got this really Euro pop kind of stuff, which is just
I can't stand that stuff. It annoys me.
It's kitsch. And then you've got the cute little, like, hi, I'm a Russian grandmother in my, you know, babushka
that,
bloody outfit.
That was the Russia one. Yeah, they did quite well.
Right, but what I'm saying is, we don't follow kitsch. Like, we're not kitschy in Australia unless you deliberately go out to be retro, right? That's not our stick here. Mm. And so when I see our performances, like, I think was Guy Sebastian at 1 year?
Yes, he was the first.
He was the first. Yeah.
Wasn't Jessica Mowboy? But like, when Guy Sebastian went out there, he just looked so R&B, and I thought he was better than half the acts, right? Because he's American. Like, sorry, not American, he's Australian, but he looked like an American R&B star. If I know any better,
okay,
right? We're never going to win the thing.
Yeah, I just...
I think we fit in from that sense of...
We nearly did with Guy Sebastian. Adam, I know you're trying to get in here because this is big for you, the music side of this, and we got to go soon. What are your thoughts on what Melissa was saying?
Oh, look, I agree that our style of music doesn't fit in like the most of the European music, because we are heavily influenced by American pop culture and American music in Australia, much more than we are from European music or culture. So I absolutely get that. And, you know, if we were ever to win this thing, we're not going to be able to host it here.
Because of time zones. I think they didn't mention...
And also the distance. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Could you
imagine Eurovision being hosted out of Sydney or Melbourne or Brisbane or somewhere like that? It just wouldn't work.
Well, I don't think the logistics of space is a problem. I think the logistics of time is a problem.
Time,
We'd have to host it in the middle of the night or something.
It's money.
A lot of money.
The fans are going to fly over. No, I think they said that if Australia won, they'd host it in the UK.
Yeah, I heard Germany. But, you know, it doesn't matter.
Or maybe it would go to the second winner as with Ukraine next year.
Okay, well, it's a lot of fun.
But I love, just a little tidbit, I love the sort of joke humour around the UK entrance, because obviously we all know that the person who wins it this year hosts it next year.
Yes.
And after Brighton, after 96, when the last time the UK hosted it, they said, we don't want to host this ever again, so make sure you put crap entries in from now on so we don't win the thing.
And they did.
And now here they are.
And they did.
My God, the entries have been terrible. The worst one I can remember is the girls going, we're flying high. And they were like, terrible singing. They were dressed as airline stewardesses. It just looked like the British version of I'm a Barbie Girl.
They should have done the TVC, the television commercial for Qantas. Okay. We got to go. Adam Devon is in Brisbane. Melissa Grima is in Melbourne. Thank you both for joining me here on Bondi Tunes.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
This is Bondi Tunes International. This is Real Radio.
Snowdrops and daffodils, butterflies and bees, sailboats and fishermen, things of the sea, wishing wells, wedding bells, early morning dew, all kinds of everything remind me of you. I put my arm around.
goes through her head. It's a dream, I can believe it. It took so long, it's only fair. And then the phone begins to ring, and the strangest voice on the other end of the line says, oh, wrong number, sorry to waste your time. And I think to myself, why now? Why me? Why? Susanna, 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 I'm crazy loving you.
Susanna, 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 it's crazy loving you.
Sit myself beside her, try to take her hand in mine. The moment's gone, the feeling's over. She looks around to find the time. Then she says, could we just sit and chat? And I think, well, that's that. Susanna, 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 I'm crazy loving you.
The sun never sets on Bondi Tunes.